Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love mild weather. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again from Claire Kramer's world. We're just living in it. With another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, February 21st, 2021. And my guests are You Know Who, plus Rob Belushi and Candice Mobley. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
This part's always awkward because everyone's like, are we all supposed to talk at the same time? So let's meet everybody individually, starting with first-time guest on the show, Robert Belushi is here. Hey, Rob.
Hi, how are you all?
I can't speak for all of us, but I'll speak for
Please
me
do,
and
though.
I'll say I'm excited. We're all excited to meet you. host of Get a Clue.
That's right. Yeah.
Also, a motion picture that is streaming called The Blackout.
Ooh.
Is that correct?
Totally correct.
What's The Blackout? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Blackout is an independent feature, and it takes place during during Hurricane Sandy in New York. The hurricane blows in mid-party that is being thrown by three women in their 20s and a bunch of friends. And then as the hurricane takes over, more people come in to the party to seek shelter, and a night of imperfection and compassion is revealed between the characters.
All right. And it's available to watch now. You know, a lot of times when people reach out about, you know, publicists said, hey, Rob Belushi would like to come talk about this movie. You know, a lot of times there's like a specific, you know, date we're targeting, but it is out now.
It's out on VOD on all digital platforms, including iTunes, Amazon, and anywhere you can buy movies.
All right. Well, I'm going to, you know, throw down the challenge with Claire Kramer. If she wins again today, I think both of us should, in the ensuing week, watch The Blackout and then talk about it on the next episode.
I'm into it. It's because it's the type of movie I love. It's probably mostly in one location, right?
It sure is. In fact, a lot of it was, you know, improvised. So it was kind of an experiment that Danny, the director, you know, presented to a large ensemble of actors to find their way through, you know, moments and events and emotions kind of on their own. So it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And yes, it takes place all, you know, mostly in an apartment in New York.
Yeah, Claire doesn't like, she gets nervous when a second location gets involved. That's just more of a life thing.
Right?
She sounds like a producer.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, she's always producing things and saying, let's try to keep the budget down. And as host of Get a Clue, as a game show host, how do you fare on the other side of things? How are you at playing the games?
I'm a lot better at hosting than playing.
Like, do you think you would do badly on your own show?
Gosh, I don't think I'd do badly, but I don't, you never know, you know, those lights come on and you throw the timer on and, you know, you get your partner isn't picking up what you're throwing down. And then all of a sudden you've got like brain freeze going. I mean, that could happen to me. It often does. You'll probably hear it happen during our time together today. But
I can't wait. I look forward to it. And also joining us today is another first time guest. It's comedian Kenise Mobley. Hello, Kenise.
Hello, longtime fan. I'm so excited to be here. Maybe overly excited.
Okay. Well, I guess probably not overly excited, or at least you are overly excited in a very quiet way, because yes. we haven't been hearing you from you. I just got to ask you a question about something I found somewhere in your info on the internet. What is Make Yourself Cry?
So Make Yourself Cry is an Instagram live show I do every week where, okay, so backstory, I'm really bad at crying. Most movies don't make me cry. I think in the history of every movie that I've seen, and I watch at least 100 every year, only 4 movies have ever made me cry. So it's people coming on with things that make them cry, and they see if it makes me cry as well.
I love that premise. You know, used to be very hard to get to cry. And then I crossed that man threshold where you reach a certain age and then everything starts making you cry.
What age is that?
I think it's different for everybody. I mean, I think I held out longer than a lot of people, but I guess that, you know, there's just this thing that happens, I guess, where men get, you know, more emotional once they get, you know, more mature and realize that, you know, this isn't going to last forever. But what are your 4 movies? Can you name the 4 movies that have made you cry? I find that fascinating.
I can. So one was when I was a kid and somebody gets run over by like a lawnmower and dies. It could be called like Something in the Moon, The Man in the Moon. I don't know what this is called. That movie made me cry.
Oh, is that Reese Witherspoon?
I think so. Like a super young Reese Witherspoon. Mm-hmm. I do not remember the plot of it. I just remember as a child, I cried. And then Beast of the Southern Wild, where it's like that small kid and she's just left to the whims of the world. Tears every time. Pride and Prejudice from 2005 for some reason. And Mr. Darcy walks across the field and there's all the mist, tears constantly. And the one that makes me cry consistently every time without question, and if I need to cry, I will put it on, Paddington 2, one of the best films ever made.
Wow. That is, I would not have guessed any of those 4. I probably would have went with, you know, more classic cry makers, you know, like, you know, E.T. or... you know, any of those movies where somebody dies of a, like, even Pride and Prejudice and Zombies would have been a good, but those are, but I think it's called Man in the Moon. So next time you tell the story,
Man in the Moon. Okay.
Then you know it's Reese Witherspoon's first movie, and it's called Man in the Moon, I think. I'm pretty sure that's it. And I think there is like a death, an accidental death in it that sends everybody reeling.
Yes.
So, Camise, can I jump in? Am I allowed to jump in? Or
what do you need?
what triggers the crying, do you think? Because some of that stuff is like about like abandonment, and some of it is about death. And can I talk with my therapist
about this? So we have gotten into a little bit of it, but it's usually someone who's trying to do the right thing and it hasn't worked out, and it hasn't worked out, and then it does work out, and then when it finally work out for them, oh, I can't handle it.
That works for me too. And you know, I can definitely throw in my hat as somebody who's crying more and more as he ages. So I don't know what the gender role there is, but I am weeping at everything.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like, there's just a day where you wake up and you're just more sensitive to these things. And but also the movies themselves can be so manipulative with the music and the, you know, the right performers, you know, because, you know, if you like an actor in a movie, you certainly don't want to see them die in that movie, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, but also I am having more of the tears of joy thing, which is interesting, you know, that movies with happy endings are making me cry, which like that, you know, that never used to be the case.
Wait, what's the last movie that made you cry from joy?
Oh gosh. Maybe I loved Booksmart, and I saw it at the like premiere, and the audience went so crazy for it. I bet you I was like wiping away tears at the end as all the characters were having water balloons thrown in their face in slow motion.
That's I cried in Booksmart.
Scene. Right? It's just so, it's crazy inspiring, and it's angering that there aren't more movies like it, that the system has just really kept back movies about, you know, women and girls. And we were just talking the other day about how the movie Bridesmaids, when that came out, everyone was like just expecting it to bomb just because it was, why would men go to see a movie about bridesmaids? And then when that movie proved everybody wrong, it didn't fix anything really, because they're still scared to make movies like that. Claire, what do you think?
I agree with that statement 100%. And in regards to Knees and the crying, I am the opposite. I'm like a huge crier, because when I'm watching a movie, it's a release for me. I like the suspension of disbelief, you know, which is probably why I like all genres of film and television, because I want to lose myself. And so I'm able, when I'm watching, I'm not me. I'm actually feeling like I'm in the story. And so I'm much freer with my emotions than I am walking around, you know, in my real life in the, you know, Claire's world.
Well, last week, we're all in Claire's world. Last week, you know, your recommendation for the week was Love yes. Actually. And so now I'm thinking, as you describe how you cry at movies, that movie, you must spend the last 20 minutes crying because all the stories are getting wrapped up.
So I did. Yes, I did. I remember the first movie I cried at when I was little. And I remember I cried during the movie, which was Charlotte's Web. And it was the animation. And then I remember going up to my room in Ohio and looking in the mirror, and I had like a tear streaming down my face, and I had ponytails in. I remember I had two ponytails, and looking in the mirror and being like, that's weird. Why am I crying? It's not me that's hurt. It's a story. And that was when I first made the connection of like, art is meant to evoke emotions, you know? Positive emotions, sometimes anger, sometimes to activate, but that in essence is what art is in any form. And that's when I kind of made that connection at that young age, when I cried at Charlotte's Web.
That's so cute.
And then the movie that tore me apart crying, like I cried the whole time entire movie. And my boyfriend at the time was like, I think we need to leave the theater. And I was like, shut up. Was Awakenings, which is, I haven't thought about that movie in so long, but it's, I mean, I loved Oliver Sacks. I was reading his books, you know, at a young age. And, you know, this, he came up with that story and it's based on, you know, real events. And it's just such a powerful, amazing story. That one is a crier. So Kenise, I give you Awakenings. I want to know if you'll cry during it.
I'll give it a watch.
Okay.
I'll be shocked if you don't. I mean, that movie is just pure, you know, pulling at the heartstrings the whole time. And De Niro and Robin Williams are both like
phenomenal.
At the top of their game. Penny Marshall was killing it because Penny Marshall, you know, like with Big, already made a movie that was also kind of somehow a tearjerker, even though it was a wacky comedy. Mm-hmm. You know, so she had she was really good with that stuff.
She like has a way of like taking these men, and she did it with Tom Hanks before anybody else had really done it with him in Big, and like bringing the organic, you know, genuineness and sort of kindness out, you know what I mean? And I think that really comes out with De Niro and Robin Williams performances.
They're both such sensitive performances. It's like watching dueling Mandy Patinkins.
Yes.
So I should introduce you officially. Claire Kramer is back for her sixth appearance in a row, trying to beat her record of 10 wins from several years back. And we will get to the competition shortly, but first a couple of things. First of all, the box office report for this week is really sad. Croods 2 is back at number one. I just think the formula right now is to have something that's a title that children are already familiar with and, you know, scream at their parents until they take them to see it at the drive-in. And that's what I think Croods 2 is. It's mostly making its money with families going out just to get the hell out of the house.
Yeah.
But the next thing I'd like to do is discuss recommendations. Rob and Kenise, don't mean to surprise you with this, but basically it's just recommend a movie that you think people would like. In this case, I feel like we should all be recommending tearjerkers. But Claire probably already has something in mind. What would you like to recommend this week, Claire?
I would like to recommend, now it came out in mid-January, but I haven't talked about it yet. And I was thinking to myself, why not? Because it's a phenomenal movie, News of the World with Tom Hanks.
Oh.
We love, yes.
Did you cry?
I did, yes. But it wasn't, it was more like emotional because the young girl in it, this little actress from Germany who is absolutely phenomenal. Talk about great, you know, child performances. She's unbelievable. She really tugged at my heartstrings, like her plight and her storyline in particular. Her family was killed in an attack by Native Americans. And then she's basically just this wild little girl who Tom Hanks, who is, this is takes place like 5 years after the Civil War has ended. And he is paid, you can pay a dime to hear him read different newspapers because not a lot of people read back in the day. and so he travels.
Yeah. He's a traveling nonfiction storyteller.
Yes. And
I didn't even know such a position existed.
Me neither. And he says in the movie, you know, it's not a rich man's job, which it's not. But he takes her, and then, of course, in great Western style, and in great Paul Greengrass style, they have some epic, you know, Western scenes. And I just love the movie. I love Paul because I'm a huge, like, Jason Bourne fan. I absolutely love the books. And when I thought Bourne Supremacy and Bourne Ultimatum were two of the best in that franchise, which he directed also. So I highly recommend News of the World.
I tell you that Paul Greengrass has made, I'd say, three or four of the most suspenseful movies mm-hmm. that are not rated R. He doesn't need the he doesn't need that, the actual physical, you know, bloody violence kind of payoff, but just the fact that it's always looming in his his movies are all so just put you on edge. I mean, the United,
Flight 93 or United 93.
Yeah, I never can remember the number.
Yeah,
United Flight 93. I cried through that whole movie.
You know, he's not. He's also. He's not afraid to tackle like tough subjects too. You know, I mean, yes, he does the huge blockbuster Bourne series, but then he did that movie, and you know, this. I really loved it, and I will say, the young girl. Helena, I don't know her. I can't remember her last name, but she, to me, it is perfect casting that she needs to play a young Gwendolyn Christie. Don't you guys think?
I haven't seen News of the World yet. You know, I've seen a couple of still pictures of the girl, so I'm not really
when you watch too familiar. It. Yeah, think about that at the end, and I think somebody needs to write a movie for those two.
Okay, I just you know. I just find it really fascinating how often Tom Hanks has played a captain.
I know.
And I wonder if he shows up on, when he does show up to work on the first day each time, he says, I'm the captain now. Like he was so
Phillips. That wasn't even his line.
That's what I'm saying. He's taking it back. Now he just goes around insisting he's the captain. All right, so that's Claire's recommendation. News of the World, currently streaming on Apple TV.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep, believe so.
Yeah, it's on Apple TV, and I'm definitely going to watch it. It's a big awards contender, and yeah, all the buzz is really strong for that little girl's performance.
She's phenomenal, and Tom Hanks is so effortless that he's just really good, you know? He's just everything an actor should be in front of the camera. Natural, organic, real.
Yeah, he's amazing. It's going to be really interesting to see his take on, you know, in that Baz Luhrmann's Elvis movie. He plays Colonel Parker, which thank God he's not Captain Parker. Exactly. Okay, Rob, Belushi, what can you recommend a movie? Like if it's something that's streaming, that's great, but it can be any movie.
I've been on a little movie explosion in the last week, and I've loved every single one I've seen. So I guess I'll list them all and do it real fast.
Okay. But then you have to commit to one though, as your absolute favorite of all of them.
No problem. All right. So okay. I guess in sequential order, I finally watched A Most Dangerous Game, which is streaming on HBO Max. It's Joel, I think McRae is his name. And who was the woman in the original? Faye Ray. It's an old one.
Yeah.
Really good.
Okay.
And the original Postman Always Rings Twice with Lana Turner. That's on Criterion right now. Mm. Really weird and fun. And she is so clearly a movie star. It's hard to not watch her. I watched Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar. Loved it.
I want to see that.
It's fun.
Loved it. Yeah. So fun. What a great movie about friendship. Definitely cried. And let's see. And then I watched last night the new Rosamund Pike movie on Netflix called I Care a Lot.
Yeah.
I definitely recommend that one. But my biggest recommend would be The Sound of Metal, which came out. Did you guys already talk about this on your show?
No.
It's come up because I saw it, but I haven't spoken to Claire about it, I don't think.
That's definitely cried in this one. This stars Riz Ahmed as a musician, a drummer who is in love in a relationship with a woman who's in his band, and the movie begins with him beginning to experience hearing loss. He is also an addict in recovery. And I just thought the film was, I happen to be in recovery, so maybe that's why I have a particular fondness for it. But I just think I thought everyone in the film was incredible to watch. There's a man who plays kind of a counselor.
Yeah.
Paul
Racy's that guy's name.
Oh,
and he's been getting a lot of, you know, awards attention.
Mm-hmm. He was great.
The thing I love the movie, but the main thing I try to express to people about it is don't be concerned about the fact that he's a metal drummer, because it's not about that. It's not, it's not a movie about metal music. It's just, it works for the title,
and it works so well. Like the sound of metal being a motif throughout the movie, like I caught it probably a lot less than it was meant to, but it really deepened the viewing experience for me. And he is so just beautiful to watch work. Like I wish I could do anything like what he does. And I just believe him. I think he's, you know, one of the greatest actors of his generation, and I'll watch anything he's in. He's amazing. Sound of Metal. It's on Amazon.
I loved him in The Night of the HBO. Oh, yeah. He was like phenomenal. That was one of my favorite like miniseries ever because of him.
Well, and he's actually like, Nightcrawler was the first movie he was in, which is another one of my total favorites. I rewatched that like monthly. And I guess everyone came in to read for the role of Rick as like kind of a burnt out surfer dude. And he came in and did what he did. And it's like unforgettable performance of vulnerability and honesty. And I'm sorry if I cut you off a little bit there, Claire, and I apologize.
Oh, not at all. I love hearing it. I haven't seen the movie yet and I'm excited to watch it.
It's so
good. Yeah, it's good. It's good. And it's on Amazon Prime. And look for it especially in the sound categories on the Oscars, because the sound design is phenomenal and also very disturbing. Like it's the most immersive movie about losing hearing. I mean, I've never been watching a movie and felt more, you know, connected to what's happening to the protagonist, because it's happening to you as well. Cause you hear what he hears, you know, you hear what it sounds like for him. It reminded me of Rob. Have you ever seen a movie called the Diving Bell and the Butterfly?
Oh, I love
that.
Yes.
Good movie,
Rob. Yeah. It reminded me of that, where it's like for a large portion of the movie, I was like, I'm so empathetic with this character and this horrible thing that's happening to him, and that there's nothing he can really do. And then with both movies, it's a little bit of a spoiler, things end up, you know, happier than you'd ever imagine they could. And, you know, I just thought back to that movie and how that movie also, you know, made you feel what it's like to be inside this guy who's, you know, completely paralyzed except for being able to blink one eye.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. Those are all great recommendations, and I heartily back you up on Sound of Metal. Kanice, what are you thinking for a movie recommendation?
Okay, so I just moved and my internet has not been installed, so I haven't been able to stream anything or like
a nightmare,
which is truly it's like it's damaging to me as a human being, and I'm done it this way. But I've been rewatching my DVDs, which I stopped buying in like 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
So I've watched everything that doesn't make me feel like I'm about to be murdered. Every DVD that I have that's not like a scary thriller murder one. And I'd have to say the most enjoyable one in this time has been The Thomas Crown Affair, which is one of my favorite
movies. Best.
I love it so much.
Now we're talking the Steve McQueen version.
No, we're talking the Pierce Brosnan, Rene Russo version. Man, love it deeply. I know the other one might be better. I accept that, but 1999, it was the tops.
It's funny. The other one has the credit sequence at the beginning is one of the most stylish and coolest credit sequences ever. But the remake was definitely a worthy, like, it's its own movie, and it's just as entertaining as the first one, I think. And I was just reading or hearing something about that movie recently where there was some odd thing with Pierce Brosnan, something that he couldn't do or something. I shouldn't even have brought it up. But if you if anybody's interested in diving deeper into the Thomas Crown Affair and Pierce Brosnan, there was something unusual about him in that. What's that?
I have a question about something.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your question for Kenise?
Okay.
First of all, amazing recommendation. I love that film. I mean, it's Rene Russo is incredible. Like, she's so good in that movie. And I'm getting a little giddy, so I'm gonna relax. I mean, John McTiernan.
You're a real Rene Russo fan, because of course you also enjoy her very much in Nightcrawler.
Oh, I love her in Nightcrawler. I think Rene Russo is not talked about enough, but
right.
Yes, she's amazing in Nightcrawler.
Yeah, it took her marrying that guy that made Nightcrawler for her to be an actress of an older age that actually gets a decent role in a movie.
Oh, and she is like
so good.
Great recommendation. I'm so excited you brought that up. John McTiernan directed that. He directed another perfect film, Die Hard.
Yeah. And Die Hard with a Vengeance. Okay.
Die Hard with a Vengeance. Amazing.
I like it more than Die Hard 1, and I accept that people are going to yell at me, but I love Die Hard with a Vengeance so much. It's why Tiernan's one of my favorite directors. Okay, sorry.
No. I mean, like, my friends and I constantly say to each other, hook, line, and sinker. Like, and another thing that friends of mine and I do, you know, that came out in 1999, and that's when I graduated high school. So that's a very real film to me. I'm so excited you brought this movie up. the thing we talk about is that, like, that monologue that Dennis Leary gives to Rene Russo about being fine. Like, that's, do you know the one I'm talking about?
It's like, I fucked 5 women in 6 days. I was suspended. I unfortunately know that movie almost front to back. Like, if you put it on, I can like talk along with it. Yeah.
I beat a suspect and like, and I was fine. Yeah, exactly. So, I hope that's not too much of a window into my life, but it's a great metaphor for. But my question, all right, so this is exciting, Kenise. So my question to you is: one thing I never understood about the Thomas Crown Affair is when he says to her, "I have a question," and he, you know, it's that built-up moment. Would you like another hit of espresso? And she's like, that's your question. Would I like another hit of espresso? Like, I never get what that's supposed to mean. Is he just
like
trying
to
build?
So you want to stay up for another few hours?
That's what it is. It's like, do you want to make love?
Yeah. It's like, hey, do you want to drink this, have more energy for what we're planning on later or what?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That's what I thought, but I'm always like, God, it's so weird. So weird.
Doesn't it feel good to have that mystery solved now for you, Rob? When those things get cleared up, it's a nice feeling.
I watch this movie so often, and that part like all of it, the dance is so hilarious and amazing to me. And like that moment, I'm always like, huh, is he saying? Okay.
I've loved that movie since I was in middle school, to the point where like I bought outfits that were similar to Rene Russo's outfits because I thought she was just like the coolest thing in the world. And no one likes a 14-year-old dressing that way. People really don't like it.
With that jacket and those boots, that long skirt. Oh,
yes.
Man.
Yes.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I'm yelling. I'm yelling.
All right. Well, we've got lots of great options for people to... movies for people to watch while they're stuck at home. But
I'm so sorry. Did you not cry when she's on the plane at the end?
I didn't cry at all. I'm sorry. I'm a heartless.
This is why she has a show about not crying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she said she cried during four movies and named all of them. You know, we have to trust her on this.
But that, she hasn't seen Awakenings.
Else has ever
haven't
made
seen Awakenings
her cry.
Yet.
Oh, man. Have you seen Silver Linings Playbook?
I have. Are you suggesting that that's a movie that makes people cry?
I cry so hard in that movie. Like,
I think you
so
might.
Flawed.
Yeah. And you cry for people who have the worst. The dumbest possible gambling problem. Because
I relate.
Like, there's all those things that Robert De Niro has to do for luck for his team, a team that always loses all the time. Like, why did he think it was ever working? Just because that one season, they have a good season.
Well, it's just a great, like, there's so much madness happening in that film. But the first legal sports bet I ever made was on the Bears in 2006 against the Indianapolis Colts. I didn't have enough money to be making any bets at all. And I made a big bet because I was sure the Bears were going to win. And in retrospect, I'm just as dumb as Pat Solitano Sr. in Silver Linings Playbook, because it was Rex Grossman against Peyton Manning and they got smoked.
Okay. I'm sure the rest of us don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Yeah. So,
okay.
Silver Linings Playbook, crying challenge. Everybody take it. See if you can get through without crying or see if you can get through it at all. We will play some games right after this quick break. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
All right, we're back. And we're going to start with the games portion of the show today with an old game that Claire, I'm sure, was playing back in that 10-game winning streak. But it's got a new twist. Yeah, this is, we're going to play for the first time ever, Speed Malton.
Ooh.
This is the old Leonard Maltin game, but with a new structure. Basically, here's how Speed Malton works. I'll tell you a category, then I'll tell you what the category, you know, I'll give you a name for a category, then I'll tell you what it means. Then I'll tell you the year of the movie we're talking about. Then I'll tell you a couple of short quotes from Leonard Maltin's review of that movie. And then I'll start naming names of actors that were in that movie, listed by Leonard at the end of the review, from the bottom up, leading up to the top billed actor or actress. During all of this, at any point, each one of you can guess once what movie you think it is. If you don't get it right, then you can't buzz in again until the next round, the next movie. So you don't want to, you know, there's no negative points, but you still don't want to buzz in if you're not absolutely sure. And by buzz in, I mean just say your own name and then I'll call on you.
No raising of the virtual hand.
Just yell out Rob or Claire or Kenise, whatever the case may be. You guys can decide amongst yourselves which names you want to use. First person to 2 points will be our winner. Any questions?
Okay, just jump in whenever you think you have an idea.
Yeah, just say your name when you think you know what it is.
Okay.
And then I'll say Claire, and then you'll...
And then I'll say something. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Got it.
All right. The category is Clint Eastwood. And these are Westerns directed by Clint Eastwood. The year, the year is 1992. Leonard Maltin gave this movie 3 stars. I forgot. I'm going to also tell you that. I'm going to tell you what he, how many stars Leonard gave it out of 4. He gave it 3. He called it powerful, but he also said that it was marred by a midsection that plods. Yes, Rob?
This is a Western by Clint Eastwood.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be Unforgiven.
That is correct.
Mm.
Rob Belushi's on the board with 1 point. Claire Kenise, were you just hanging out or did you have ideas?
I wasn't sure of the year of Unforgiven. And so I was kind of
wrong.
Waiting a minute because, yeah. But
you got it.
I wasn't sure, but now I'm going to be more aggressive. Good job, Rob.
Good job, you aggressive player, you.
I think that was written by David and Janet Peoples, who also did the La Jetée, 12 Monkeys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, cool. I was playing a game recently where... people were surprised that was 12 Monkeys was based on a, you know, previous film. Yeah. All right. Rob has 1 point. We're playing to 2 points. So Rob could take this with one more movie. And this is just the first of 2 games. So, you know, no pressure. It's the second game that really matters. This particular category is called Gleam This. It's the movies of Ice Cube.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Give it to me.
The year is 2012.
Hmm.
2.5 stars for Leonard, from Leonard. He says this movie is a total goof.
I think I know what it is.
Claire?
21 Jump Street.
Ooh, that is incorrect.
Rob. Is it Anaconda?
Incorrect.
I would like to hear more details.
Kenise, this is yours. They just handed this to you on a silver platter. I'm going to read another piece of information from Leonard's review, and then I'm going to name all of the people that are in it, and then you're going to tell me the name of the movie.
Okay.
Leonard says it has a haphazard screenplay, and the names he lists are Mark Evan Jackson, Craig Roberts, Caroline Aaron, Jimmy Tatro, Nick Offerman, Kenny and Keith Lucas, writers of the story of Judas and the Messiah, by the way, Ice Cube, Gillian Bell, Amber Stevens, Wyatt Russell, Peter Stormare, Channing Tatum, and Jonah Hill.
22 Jump Street?
That is correct.
Yes! Oh, Claire, yes! You're so oh my gosh.
Oh, thank you, Claire. You really set the groundwork for that one.
You are so welcome.
I appreciate that.
You should get an honorable mention, Claire.
Yeah, that was really, that was super helpful. Okay. We have Rob and Kenise are both on the board with a point. Either could win with this round. The category is called the bride wore black. And this is Movies with Jack Black, Danny McBride, or both. The year is 2008. Leonard gives this movie 2.5 stars. He says that it goes on too long. And he also calls it, as he does a lot of movies, a yarn. Yeah, we still don't really have a handle on what that means. And he lists 12 names in this film. And the one that's billed the lowest is Tom Cruise. Then we got Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, I think I know it.
Who? Say your name.
Claire.
What is it, Claire?
Okay, so I'm supposed to say it's either Jack Black or...
You know, you're supposed to name the movie.
Oh.
These are all clues about a specific movie.
What is the name of that movie? It's, I can see it in my head. It's,
yeah.
Thunder something.
Well, you don't want to help the other players.
Okay. I give up.
I will try to take it from you.
Yeah. Should I go keep ahead, reading Kinnis. Names?
Take it away.
Well, Rob, you said Rob before I said Kinnis. I'm just being a jerk.
I was ringing in for Kinnis though, because I knew you knew.
I mean, if we're sorry, Claire, but if we're going based on what Claire has said, are we saying Tropic Thunder?
Yes. Oh my God.
Yes, that is correct.
Why? Okay, that's good though.
That's a massive clue. I don't think Tom Cruise has been 12th billed in any other thing he's ever been.
That's the giveaway. Yes. Yeah, and I could not think of like, what was the Thunder? I'm like, not Days of Thunder. That's way long ago.
Good Michael Rooker in Days of Thunder, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations.
Kinnis is the winner.
Kinnis won that game.
Woohoo! Good job, girl.
First time on the show that she beats Claire Kramer and Get a Clue host Rob Belushi in a game of trivia. But we have one more game to play, and we will find out what Kinnis won before we play that game. We'll be right back after these messages. No flipping.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, we're back. And Kinnis gets to go first in our next and final game. That's what you win for winning that last game.
Thank you.
The winner of this next game will be invited to join us again next Sunday afternoon for another episode of the show, if you would like to come back as returning champion. Claire has won 5 times in a row. So this will be number 6 if she's able to pull it off. And we're going to play.
This game should be called Claire is the Target.
I mean, Claire is great at these trivia games because her middle name is Voyant.
Right? I just channel into Doug, you know, about an hour before the show.
That took me.
What's he feeling? 15
seconds too long to get, and it hit me. It hit me like a punch. I'm stealing that this... Forget a Clue. That is right in the wheelhouse of old Uncle Rob's Pun Academy on Get a Clue. Okay, I'm sorry to keep interrupting you.
That's all right. This next game is called Parental Guidance. And I'll read to you one contestant at a time. So Kinnis won that first game, so she gets to go first. So I'll say, Kinnis, here is one of the parental guidance remarks about a motion picture
that is, you know, out there on these sites where they describe stuff so you, you know, can make sure your kids don't see it or, you know, make sure that you're giving them the right guidance. So I'll give you one, you know, one thing that describes something that happens in the movie that is probably not for kids. And then you can guess what movie it is. If you pass or guess incorrectly, then I'll move on to Rob, but then I'll add yet another parental guidance fact. Yes.
Got it.
Until, and the idea is we go around, we can go around four times, so it can come back to you, Kenise. So, you know, I was just about to say, pay attention, but what else are you going to do? Don't try to solve a Rubik's cube while we're doing this.
I will not.
Okay. But yeah, and also that's the idea is the, you know, as the clues get added, it gets easier. So I want that person who had to go first to get another, you know, get one more crack at it. Right. Okay. What motion picture, Kenise, had this written about it? Heroin use plays a major role in the film. A character smokes pot using a bong. What movie do you think that is? And I'll give you a clue. I'll give you a clue. It's not Pride and Prejudice.
Thank you. Thank you for
it's not a movie. I can tell you it's not a movie that made you cry.
It is not one of the four movies in existence that made
it's
you cry.
Not, yeah, narrowed we've narrowed it down to
Thank
those
you.
Are four movies that
Thank
it is
you.
Not.
So both heroin and pot use. Is it... Oh, I have two guesses. You know what? I accept that this could be wrong. Is it Requiem for a Dream?
No, it's not. Here's your next clue, Rob. It includes characters discussing oral sex plus depictions of sadomasochism.
So if I guess and I'm wrong, I'm out, right?
Yeah, just for now. You'll be back in the next one.
All right, I'm going to pass then. I don't have a vibe on this.
Yeah, and you don't want to say something that might be a clue to help the next person. Claire, this movie holds the record for most use of the fuck word in any film at 271 times. Now, this is also... I don't know when this particular fact was written down. So that's why I'm saying there's 271 F-bombs.
Okay.
In this movie.
It's not going to come back to me, right?
So no.
I'm going to say Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Incorrect.
No heroin in that one. Everything else. Oh, no, no.
Everything else? There is heroin. I think there is heroin.
There is heroin, yeah.
I guess it wouldn't play a major part. As described in the first quote.
All right, Kenise, here's your last chance at it.
Okay.
The director, I love these people that write these things, like trying to warn you about what to look out for your kids. They come up with the dumbest things to be concerned about. And they, one thing they wrote about this movie was, the director seems to mock product placement by featuring original brands created for the film. Like your children, you need to worry if your kids are going to see something that mocks product placement. Keep them away from Wayne's World. Or Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
So much product placement.
It's so fun. I'm going to guess again because I am reckless. I am going to guess Pulp Fiction.
That is correct.
Good guess.
She did it.
Oh, the sadomasochism.
But where's the bong scene? Who smokes the bong?
I think...
Is Eric Stoltz smoking a bong when they come
or, to... Or Susanna and Roseanne Arquette are both smoking a bong when Uma Thurman overdoses.
Yeah.
And the S&M is in the in the basement.
Mm-hmm. Where it always
good.
Is.
Good, good, Canise, great job.
Good job, Canise.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was great. So we have three more rounds, and whoever has the most points at the end of three rounds will win today. And Canise has one. Rob gets to go first on this one.
Oh, good.
What movie do you think has the warning that this movie is extremely dark and disturbing?
I can guess and guess again later, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Extremely dark and disturbing. I'll pass. Forget it. Okay. Keep going.
Claire?
I have one that comes to... Oh, you're going to read me another quote. Okay.
Yeah, you get another one, unless you want to just go ahead and...
Gimme.
A man yells at another man to suck his dick, and the man asks him multiple times if that's what he wants. That seems pretty memorable to me. But maybe.
Well, that took my first guess off. And I don't know if I remember this happening in this movie. Suck my dick multiple times. I'm just going to say Saw. That is a dark and disturbing movie.
I don't remember them saying that, though.
Me neither. But, you know, it could happen. I was more worried about him sawing off his, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to play a game. It's suck my dick.
Do you want me to? Yes.
All right, you're out of here. You did it. You sucked the dick. You're free.
Canise, here's your next clue. A cop forces a rookie to smoke weed laced with PCP.
Oh no. Like, I'm
I
like,
got it.
I know. Rob. I know. Wait. Oh, crapola. Cause it's like, King Kong ain't got nothing on me. Oh no. This is going to kill me. You won an Oscar for it. Black people are going to be so mad at me. You don't understand. It's Training Day.
Yeah, good job.
Training Day is correct, and it's good finally job. Happened. Claire Kramer's being defeated. Canise Mobley, you did it.
Good job, Canise.
This is everything job, I've Canise. Ever wanted. Thank
that
you.
That is amazing.
Beach. Well
Great
done.
Great job. Yeah. Can you come back next Sunday?
I can come back next Sunday, truly.
You can sit there where you are now again for an hour next week.
I can. Oh,
I love it. Thank you. I love it. What do you think now? So that's the first time we played that game. So I just want to do a quick discussion of how we all think that went. Do you like the way that the person who goes first, it comes back around to them, they get one more shot at it? Or do you think that that's that we shouldn't do it that way?
I like
anybody have it? You like that?
Yeah.
Because another way I was thinking we could do it is we do one clue for each person. And if nobody gets it off the three clues, then the fourth clue is like a jump ball. And then anybody can guess.
Ooh.
Anybody
like can that. Guess at that point. I think I like that version since it's in the second round, because that way it makes it. And you did a good job of putting, Doug, I'd like to give you a compliment. You did a good job of the quotes went from like, could be anything to then, you know,
more specific.
Yeah. Like everybody was like Training Day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the first one, this is dark and disturbing. That could be anything, you know?
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. You know, I feel it leads to like fun guesses and stuff. And, yeah. I think we'll be playing that game again because the Leonard Maltin game had such complicated rules. And this is basically accomplishing the same things, but with, you know,
yeah.
It's easier for everybody to pick up on what's happening. Rob Belushi, it has been a pleasure meeting you this way. Hope to meet you in person in the future. But everybody check out the film, The Blackout, the TV program, Get a Clue. And is there anything else you'd like to promote?
I guess I'm going to be on the, well, that's kind of a kid show. So no, Get a Clue weekdays at 4:30 Eastern. Blackout on VOD streaming. And I mean, I guess I'm going to be on the Nickelodeon show Side Hustle next weekend on Saturday. I play an evil host of a karaoke game show. So it's, the character is a very thin veil.
Wow. I mean, that's a Side Hustle. That's kind of an edgy sounding children's show.
It's really funny. I mean, I gotta say, I don't watch a lot of Nickelodeon or Disney, but the jokes were funny, and the young women who are the leads were so excellent. I mean, I was so impressed. But it was fun either way. It was fun to do, and I got to be a villain, so that was cool.
Well, thank you so much for being here, and Claire Kramer, it's been what a rush it's been having you on so many times in a row again.
It has been so fun. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, Claire.
We'll do it again real soon. Any final plugs from Claire after a six show appearance?
You guys can just follow me on Twitter at Claire Kramer and Instagram, Claire Kramer Official. And I am up for trivia with any of you listeners anytime.
Oh, no, you're going to get some weird challenges.
People were reaching out. So I just wanted to say I do see the messages. And yes, we'll figure something out.
I love it. That's awesome. Kenise Mobley, first time guest, first time winner guest. First time you did it. What would you,
Claire,
like to plug?
Thank you for letting me steal your answers.
You got it, girl. I am happy I got you, a little bit of an edge, and I'm glad you won.
Thank you.
What would you like to plug, Kenise?
So there's the Make Yourself Cry, which is Tuesdays at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific on IG. It's my IG handle, Kenise Mobley. And also my podcast, which is called Love About Town. It's me, my best friend Rohan. We're two awkward brown people, and we talk about sex, dating, and relationships.
And whether or not you can remember the name of the movie, Training Day.
Yes, I will be judged harshly for that by everyone I know.
But you got it.
It was a whole totally, process to get there. Yes.
But you made it. That's the important thing. The fourth clue on that one was going to be a man is killed execution style at the end of the movie.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I maybe should have switched that one with that might have been less of a clue than the PCP one.
Or Dr. Dre. There needs to be more Dr. Dre movies. He's in the crew, remember?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's true. I've got a big show coming up on April 20th at rushticks.com. It's going to be stand up and weed smoking and game playing from Doug Loves Movies, all that stuff. It's going to go on sale soon. Just mark your calendars for now for April 20th. And does anybody here have a favorite? I'm at the end of every episode, I'm saying like a classic, well, not necessarily a classic, but just a last line, final line at the end of a movie. You know, there's a bunch of really good ones. And then beyond that, it's just, you know, random things that were the last thing said. But like Kenise was talking about, what movie did you say? Oh, Thomas Crown Affair.
Yeah.
Do you know what the last line is in that movie?
If you do that again, I'll break both your arms.
Oh my God, that's a good one.
They're on the plane. She hops over her seat. They're kind of making out. The stewardess is like, ma'am, don't do that. And then and then she whispers that into his ear. And then they make out some more in the end of the movie.
Wow. I love it. I'm gonna trust that that's accurate. I don't care.
Oh, I don't care
if you just made You could have, if Rob wasn't here, you could have made that whole thing up.
She nailed it shot for shot.
Thanks again to Rob Belushi, Claire Kramer, and Kadees Mobley. We'll see Kadees next week. And as always, if you do that again, I'll break both your arms.
Now it's thanks so much.
To watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause the